Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, May 11th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 156, the second paragraph that begins with, "At midnight he came home," and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E., who will be reading the 12 steps, Lorraine N. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Devorah S., Kara L., and KP. The share ID for yesterday, Sunday, May 10th, the special edition, is 14,595. That's 14595. And for this morning's Monday, May 11th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 14,599, 14599. Our newcomer greeter for today is Janice P.M., and Dawn B. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm Shelley E., a compulsive overeater from Arlington, Texas, and here are the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. Have a great day, and I pass.
And thank you for your service, Shelley E. Okay, Lorraine N., if you'd read the 12 traditions for us, please.
I'd love to. Good morning. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to give service. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine N. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 156, the second paragraph that begins with, at midnight he came home, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. So good morning, Devorah S., if you would get us started, please.
Hi, and good morning to you. Thank you so much. My name is Devorah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. At midnight he came home exhausted, but very happy. He has not had a drink since. As we shall see, he now means a great deal to his community, and the major liabilities of 30 years of hard drinking have been repaired in 4. Wow. So we're talking here about Dr. Bob, who Bill Wilson went to him in his moment of desperation. He found another alcoholic that he can talk to so that he could get relief from his compulsion to want to drink. And he spoke to him about the program, and he decided that he's going to take the bull by the horn by the previous paragraph, and he's going to do whatever it takes, because he saw that this was something that he was at the bottom. He couldn't, what he was doing was not working anymore, and he needed to do this. And so he went around and made amends to all these people, and he came home. He was happy but exhausted. And, you know, it talks about happiness in our promises. Like that's what we're promised over here on page 83. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. You know, that's in one of our promises on page 83, a new freedom and a new happiness. And that's it. That's what we get here. We do the work that's written out here in the order that it's given, and we get freedom, and we feel happy. And I could tell you that from experience, because just Friday, I had to make an amends. You know, here I am living in steps 10, 11, 12, but I had to make an amends. I overstepped my boundaries, and I called up the person after talking with someone else, and they shared with her what happened, and I took the bull by its horn, and it wasn't easy, and I went back to this person, and I made my amends, and I'm so grateful that what I felt afterwards was such a freedom and such a lightness and a happiness. Because I took care of it. And I don't feel that way today. I don't feel that resentment today. I mean, how cool is that? That I, you know, just following those directions and sharing with another person and to be able to take that action. That's what he did here. And what was he doing? I mean, he had to go to his community. He had to go to his people that he's a doctor, his patients that perhaps he worked on when he was drunk. You know, he was a surgeon, and who knows? Maybe, you know, he took their lives in his hands, literally his hands. But yet he did that. He humbled himself and went before these people because he knew that if he wanted to get recovered and stay recovered and have a spiritual relationship with God and have a relationship with God, that this is what he had to do. He had to put aside his ego and his agenda and his everything all his thinking, had to put that aside and just forge forward and do what was told him to do. And he did it. And he came home exhausted and relieved. And you know what? He became a proper member in his community. People looked up to him. They didn't say, oh, well, you know, I knew that. They respected him. And he was able to continue on and look what we have today because of what he did, the work of these men. And what a miracle it is, you know. So here we are. This is what we need to do. And he able to do that. He repaired that in that small amount of time, 30 years of hard drinking, and he was able to repair that in four. I don't know if that's 4 years or four hours that he went out. I'm not sure about that. That's a good question someone could ask, but you know, he did the work, and we have the results of it because here we are today, and we're working, you know, in that path too. You know, trying to do the best we can to have a relationship with God and to see our side of the street and to clean up any messes that we might have. And we too have that possibility. We too have that opportunity today to mean a great deal to our families, to our community, and to each other. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much, Deborah S., for getting us started this morning. So, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, who would like to share on page 156, the second paragraph?
Joanne M.
Okay. Was it Kara? Okay, wait, was it Kara M?
Roanne M.
Roanne M. And did I hear a Joanne?
Leanne.
And what was your initial, Leanne?
W.
W.
Mo
okay,
H.
So I have Mo H.
Carol K.
Carol K, was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Rachel F.
Was it F as in Frank, Rachel?
Correct.
Okay, I can take one more, actually. One more person want to get in this lineup? Okay, we'll go ahead and start with these then. So Roanne M, Leanne W, Mo H, Carol K, and Rachel F. So go ahead, please, Roanne.
Good morning. This is Roanne M. I'm calling from Los Angeles. I'm definitely a compulsive overeater and an addict. I love this paragraph because it's a paragraph of hope, and the hope, the faith, the belief that me, as an addict, as a compulsive overeater, who has been a tornado throughout my life and has disrupted and disturbed everything I've come into contact with, it's the hope that I can have peace, I can have good relationships, I can clean up the wreckage of the past. That's a big thing because my whole life I've just felt like I'm a screw up and I've hurt everyone and I've ruined everything and just all the negative noise in my head. But this is hope that I can have a different experience with the people in my life. Things don't have to stay the way they were. Things can get better. I can show up in a different way. I can show up with love and tolerance and acceptance and compassion. And I can receive that in return. I can have that. I can have loving relationships. I don't have to be the tornado that I always was. And it's just awesome that we're reading this because I am on my step 9 right now. I just started it. And I'm going to be making my list. I'm going to do my step 8 and make my list of all the people I've harmed. And start writing them out and start doing my amends so I can live in 10, 11, and 12 and have freedom and not have to look over my shoulder and worry about running into someone that I've hurt or someone that I'm resentful at. I can clean up the wreckage of the past. I can be free. I don't have to wake up with the guilt and the shame and the self-hatred. I don't have to be afraid of running into people. I can have freedom. And mental freedom is really the most precious thing that I could get from this program. Because how much space does this obsession, the mental obsession with myself, takes up so much space in my head. So what a gift if I can think of others and have more people in my life and have people in my life that didn't want to be in my life before and now they want to be in my life because I'm not creating the disturbances that I used to. So there is hope. And I would like to say thank you for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Rowan M.
What page
and Leanne W. Pardon?
What page are we on?
Oh, we are on page 156, the second paragraph. So Leanne W., go ahead, and you'll be followed by Mo H.
Hi, good morning. This is Leanne W., recovered calling from Massachusetts. And what I wanted to share on this paragraph is that my experience is, for the most part, related to my mother. And for most of the majority of my life, I had been estranged from my mother and was able to, you know, for many years, step back and that all of my problems were a result of her. And then through this process, I had to sit down with the guidance of my sponsor and make amends to my mother. And that was, you know, that was painful because going through this, I did see that a lot of the history that I had with her was related to my behavior. And so making my amends to her, you know, I would have hoped that it would have been all wonderful, but she actually couldn't forgive me, and I had to sit with that. And I did go through that with my sponsor at the time, but that was a possibility. And so I made the amends to her. She didn't forgive me, but I had to walk through a year because it was a year later when she actually came back and we talked about it. But she did ultimately, we did reconcile. And the beautiful part of it is that for the next 3 years of her life, she was my best friend. I mean, she was, the relationship she and I shared really was like second to none, like they say. It was amazing how close we were. For so long, whenever somebody would say to me, oh, you're so much like your mother, I would get so angry. And then afterwards, when they said, you're so much like your mother, I would be so thrilled because this program opened that door up for me. And when she died, I had no regrets and I had such peace. And what that has done for me since, it has opened up the door to making amends and doing the work that I needed to do so that I can continue to have, you know, beautiful relationships and not always expecting that everyone's going to forgive me right off the bat, but knowing that I'm just doing what my higher powers called me to do. And, you know, I just can't thank this program enough. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Lorraine. Or sorry, Leanne W. Okay, Mo H., you are up, my friend, followed by Carol K.
Well, thank you very much. Happy Monday. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict from Walnut Creek, California. Thank you all for your service and so grateful to be here today. Yeah, what a powerful little paragraph there, you know. At midnight he came home, I like these exhausted, but happy, but very happy. And so, you know, yeah, there's the hope, as somebody already said. And he has not had a drink since. And there is a promise. And I was just thinking as I was listening to others share and reading the paragraph that he didn't have that sheet of paper that we do, you know, to set up our amends and we're going to do it right now or we're going to maybe do it or we're going to never do it. He just went out and did it. And I had a sponsor early on. I forgot to start my timer, but Kathleen, you'll keep me on tap. Early on, I was told that if I didn't do my step nine, if I didn't even get halfway through it, the promises would not come true for me. I have to do my step nine. And back here on page 76, you know, if we're having trouble, especially with those ones, they're nevers, that we're never going to do, It says here down in the second, third paragraph, if we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. There's our prayer. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over our food issue, over alcohol. We would go to any lengths. And I remember there was one amends that I did not want to make, and it was to my step-sister-in-law, my husband's step-sister. And it was, I just did not want to make it. And even when I mailed the letter to her, it came back. And I told my sponsor, well, I guess God doesn't want me to make it because it came back. I don't have the right address. And she said, no, you're going to find a relative who knows our correct address, because we had been estranged from her for umpty-ump years. And I am ever so grateful. I did finally send the letter again, and she called me, and we had a wonderful conversation on the phone. Some of them turn out wonderful, and some of them not so wonderful, but it's not about how they turn out. It's about we go to the person in a loving and kind, with a loving and kind heart, and the outcome is not ours, it's God. It's that we've cleaned up our side of the street. And so I think that's all I have to say. I'll stay under my timing. Thank you, Kathleen. I'll pass.
Thank you, Mo. You had 20 seconds to spare. Okay, so next I have Carol Kay, and you'll be followed, Carol, by Rachel F. So go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Carol Kay, recovered in New Jersey. You know, at midnight, he came home exhausted, but very happy. And when I was in this illness, I'm 58 years old today. When I was in the, I came in here 5 years ago. When I came, before that, yes, I would, you know, he came home, let me say, exhausted, but happy. I was always exhausted, but miserable, unhappy, hated everything. Everything in the world. Everybody wronged me, and I can relate to this. He came home exhausted, but now happy. And yes, this times I'm exhausted, mentally, emotionally, sometimes physically. I just had major surgery in December. I'm still recovering. I still have a hole in my abdomen. A nurse comes in, whatever. But you know something? I'm happy. I'm exhausted, but I'm happy. Why? Because of these 12 steps. These 12 steps led me to my higher power, and that's why. And another thing this reminds me of is when I was doing my fourth step, because this is step 9 here. When I was doing my fourth step, I remember I said to my husband, I'm going out yard sailing. I want to go, you know, get away, whatever. And I went out yard sailing. I'm on my fourth step, and I was with a friend, and he said, oh, there's a yard sale. And I just drove right past it. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm going to my sister's house. It just came. Had no plans of going there. And I was scared of her. She's got like some violent tendencies. Not to where she'd kill me, but I was always had fear of her because she had a bad temper. And God led me there. I believe it was my higher power. I pulled up in front of a house, and she happened to be standing outside with her dog. There was no parking. I double parked, got out of the car, stood in front of her, and I made my amends. Shaking, I asked God to remove my fear. He obviously did, because I did get out of the car. Stood there, was nervous for about 2 seconds, maybe 3 seconds, around there. Calmed down, made my amends. She reprimanded me, and I kept my mouth shut because I wasn't there to argue. I was there to make my wrongs right. I'm not there to make her wrongs right or what I feel her wrongs are. I was there to make my wrongs right. And when I got in my car and drove away, talk about exhausted mentally and emotionally. Oh, yeah. I had to come home and take a nap. But I was happy. I was smiling. All that was lifted off my chest. And it's a great feeling. I had a lot of amends to make. But it was the best thing I've ever done. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Carol Kay. All right, Rachel F., it is your turn. And after Rachel, I'll be taking some more names. Again, we're on page 156, the second paragraph. So go ahead, please, Rachel. Rachel, star 1 to unmute. Okay, maybe we lost Rachel. All right, so let me take some more names and I'll check in and see if Rachel's there later. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days and you'd like to share on page 156, the second paragraph, go ahead and give me your name, please.
Sherry KB.
I got Shelly S, and before Sherry was CT?
CTT. Yes, that's correct. I use my name.
Oh, CTT. Okay. And Sherry KB.
And this is Rachel. I couldn't unmute.
Okay, wait. Who said they couldn't unmute?
Rachel.
Okay, Rachel, stay with us. I'm going to put you on first, okay? Okay, and who else came in when Rachel was saying something?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Bruce E.
Natalie L. Okay, let's stop there with Natalie L. Okay, I have Rachel F., Shelley S., CTT, Sherry KB, Deborah G., Bruce E., and Natalie L. So go ahead, please, Rachel.
Thank you so much, moderator. I didn't get your name. Rachel, New York. Yes, sometimes it happens with the phone that I have to dial back in. So really grateful that I can share. I the last week I was not on a lot of meetings. I have to I did not leave my program. I thank God I'm abstinent and I did my gratitude every morning. But I was mourning after my special needs son, and he's now in a better place. And I want to focus on, as it says, he has not had a drink since. So I came into the program about 17 months ago. And thank you, God, I now have a drink. For me, the bakery foods was my drink. So, this shows me that I did not have any of these alcoholic foods since then. It shows me that I'm working, the program works for me, and under any circumstance, I think what I was thinking was that God prepared me, giving me the gift of program to be able to go through challenges that I'm going through. And some people ask me, well, how could you not, how could you not eat any of those foods, especially during the time that people brought food into my house, they sent a lot of food. So I said, there's always reasons to eat. I can have a million excuses, but I know this is, if I wouldn't have this program, there wouldn't be anybody to, I wouldn't be here. And this is what anchors me to, this is what gets me grounded the most. My food plan, writing down my food and my food plan and sticking to that was the most stable thing I had in my life the last couple weeks. So I just want to I think it gives me a lot of hope, and just hope for newcomers that if you work the program, it works. If I work my program, it works for me, and I just have to continue doing what I'm doing and remember that I'm in control and I run the show, but I'm no longer running the show. And God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Rachel F. And I think it was Kelly S. I always hear Shelly, but was it Kelly S?
It was Kelly S. Thanks.
Okay, Kelly, go ahead. You'll be followed by CTG. Thanks.
I'm just grateful to be heard. It's Kelly S., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Oklahoma. So I know I was sharing this with you guys last week, another is it odd or is it God thing. So, I've started back in the beginning of the big book, going through my steps again, and I'm in finished up more about alcoholism. And so we read this paragraph today, which is kind of an example of a paragraph I read in more about alcoholism. And, he talks about going out and doing his ninth step and, making his amends, working the steps and changing his life, and that he has his freedom and he has a new life that he never thought he had. So the paragraph I had read this weekend was on page 42. It's not like I'm quoting this. It's just one that's weird. Oh, my God, that's the paragraph I had. It was like the same thing. So it was like, it says, quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. I have since been brought into a way of living infinitely more satisfying and, I hope, more useful than the life I lived before. And that is the story that Dr. Bob is showing there. And I love that Mo pointed out the hope and the promise there. That's why we get to study this and share. I love that kind of stuff. So, you know, it talks about in that paragraph and more about alcoholism, you know, spiritual principles would solve all my problems, all my problems. What a promise there. Because guess what? You know, it's not about compulsive overeating. And that's why we do this immense stuff. That's why we work the steps. That's why we go through all 12 to have the spiritual awakening. You know, I always thought it was about the food. I thought it was about my weight. I thought it was about my bulimia. I thought it was about all that. And no, you know, it was about my inability to do life. And it was about all the way that I handled life. And I was seeking ease and comfort everywhere else at the right place and spiritual, you know, my spiritual malady. I had to find a spiritual solution. And that's what the steps does for me. I didn't dread 4 and 5. I dreaded 8 and 9. Just talk about having to have some humility. But I will share with you guys, I'll wrap up here. I've had more peace with those steps, 8 and 9. And let me just tell the newcomer, the steps are in order for a reason. Dr. Bob and Dr. Bill did not have the fellowship we have today, which is important. They didn't have the sponsorship, the guides we have. So don't go through these steps alone. You know, we have to have each other. The steps are written in we for a reason. So if you're a newcomer right now, you know, work on being abstinent and follow the steps in the order they're laid out. And grateful to be here. Thanks, guys. Pass.
Thank you, Kelly S. Okay, CTT, you're up next, followed by Sherry KB.
Hi, my name is CT. I'm a compulsive reader. Grateful to be here. Thank you, everyone, for being on the call today. I really needed this call. I was having a rough time. I lost a very dear friend. And what I know is I have to get into action, which means get into the book and read and make phone calls and be on meetings for me, especially at the Zoom time. And at first I was like, I don't know what to share about this paragraph. Pardon me, I'm walking. And, you know, I've had a remarkable recovery. And if I can share my remarkable recovery with anyone, which I share deeply with my friend I lost, the gift of feeling very good and exhausted at the end of the night could happen for me today, too. So for me, making my amends and showing up and doing that fourth step and sharing it with another and having faith and trust in God has proved to make me an upstanding citizen in my community, and I was not when I got here. And my family loves me, and my daughter has a baby. Well, he's 3. He's a pirate, Captain Hook. And they trust me with him, and he trusts me with him, and he wants to snuggle with me and come to Maga's house and do the things that I never dreamed possible because I worked the steps. And I agree. I'm kind of the nature that do the steps in order, but we heard a great message here today that how do we know what God wants us to do? When a woman shared earlier, she said she was on her fourth step and she drove right by the yard sale and went to make her amends. You know, for me, I need to be very in tune with what's God will for me and follow that direction coupled with sponsorship. And I am very grateful. Bob and Bill didn't have the steps at this point written out like we do with no loopholes. And this was just a very powerful paragraph. And I'm going uphill now, so I'm going to pass. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, CTT. Okay, Sherry, KB, you are up.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader, and thanks so much for your service, Kathleen, and everybody on the line, Team Monday, and welcome to Monday, welcome home, welcome all newcomers, and all of us alike. And, you know, I was thinking about this and some of the previous shares, you know, the steps are in order for a reason. This book is in an order for a reason. It's really interesting. That just really hit me that, you know, everything we're doing here is in order and that there is a reason for it. You know, the previous paragraph talked about how, you know, he took the bull by the horns in the morning, and by midnight, where we're at, you know, in this paragraph, he came home exhausted. So he really just went out there and took care of his amends, and he came home, but he felt relieved. And all those years, all those burdens that he had gone through is, you know, really amazing and feeling uplifted. And that's what happens. And we're going to read tomorrow about how we live in 10, 11, 12. So it's like one thing straight after another. I remember when I did my fifth step and did 6, 7, 8 and got on the list right immediately and then started making my amends. The one that really stands out for me is my sister. I'll never forget this. This was, you know, I don't know about you, but do you have one of your outstanding amends that you can remember that you can share with all of us? And what comes to mind for me is that my sister and I have always bucked heads all our lives. And, you know, one thing after another after another. And one time she stopped talking to me for quite a while. And then she came back and said something like, you know, I'm going to tell you everything I think of you. and she did. And then she said, and now we can start over. And I'm like, whoa. And, you know, I took a step back. I took a break, and I really prayed and went through everything. And, you know, honestly, I really wanted to tell her. I wanted to make an amends, but I also wanted to tell her everything I thought about her, too, to clean it up, as I thought. Well, my higher power had something else in mind. I really prayed on it. I talked to other recovered people about it. And you know what my amends was to my sister? I told her I'm sorry that I wasn't the sister that she wanted. That's what I said to her. And, you know, that I know that was a God thing. That was not Sherry's will, Sherry's show, because I would definitely have done it differently. But because of working the steps, because I had a spiritual awakening, I was able to say, you know what, I'm sorry, I haven't been the sister that you wanted. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Okay, Deborah G., you're up next, followed by Bruce E.
Hi, everyone. My name is Deborah. I'm a compulsive overeater, and thank you, Kathleen, for chairing this meeting, and everyone that made this meeting possible and that has shared today 12-step to me. I feel so grateful. When I was in the food, I was suffering a lot, and I would project that out. It had a ripple effect wherever I went. It was there, that suffering. I didn't even know that was part of it. Couldn't see. Because I couldn't see the forest or the trees. I just couldn't see what my behavior, my thinking and my behavior was doing to others. And it wasn't until I did those beautiful, beautiful 12 steps that I was changed. I was no longer suffering because of those beautiful 12 steps. And so then I was different. And I went out into the world differently. And it doesn't mean I go out into the world perfectly every day because I have those other steps to use for when things crop up. But at least I'm not like I was. You know? And I think that is only by God's grace. And I love what was shared yesterday, you know, God, everything. Go to God. When I know I'm off somewhere, I'm not spiritually connected, or I don't feel that presence, or whatever's going on, God. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. Hey, Bruce, you're up next, followed by Natalie L. Go ahead, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce E. in Fort Myers, Florida area. Let's see, major liabilities of 30 years of hard drinking have been repaired. So a lot's been repaired in my life as a result of working this step, steps 8 and 9. This is the one that I sweated out the most when I came in the program years ago, and my sponsor was good enough to say to me, let's not be worried about step 8 and 9. You're only on step 1. So I had to get through step 1 first before I could, you know, and all the other steps before I had. So that kind of relieved it, you know, let's work on step 1 and not worry about step 8 and 9. So finally I got to step 8 and 9. The two biggest ones were my dad and my brother. They were the two people in my life that I'd had the most problems with, really, and they'd had the most problems with me. And got through the dad one. Finally, took a while to get that one, got that one. And then I had to do my brother. And, oh, did I dread calling him, and because we lived in different parts of the country. And I called him, and I was prepared on it, though, because I was keeping it pretty generic. There was so much that I needed amends for, but I had a couple of items that I knew I needed to make that I amends on if he kind of tried to. I knew he was going to try to slough me off, and so I started doing my amends. And he said, "I don't remember any of that." You know, I said, "You know, I was, you know, disrespectful towards you and different things." And he said, "I don't remember any of that." And I said, "Well, what about the time that I stabbed you with a pencil?" And there was a long pause on the phone. And he said, "I can still see the blue mark in my arm from when you did that." And I said, "Oh, no. I used a colored pencil to stab you with. I couldn't even remember." And he said, "Yep." And I said, "Well, I just really apologize for that." I said, "I just, I'm not that way now. I'm different now. And I would never do that again. And I really, really want to do amends for that." And he accepted it. And he actually ended up saying that he's always been very heavy. I've always thought he qualified for this program, but he ended up saying, "Yeah, my wife and I could probably use that program that you're in." So there we solved it. And it really was solved. 30 years of, longer than that, of problem situation with my brother was solved in a very short time. Thank you. And I pass.
And thank you, Brucey. Okay, Natalie L., you're up next. And I'll probably have time for one more share after Natalie L. So if you want to get the last share in, you can go after Natalie L. So go ahead, Natalie.
Hi, this is Natalie L., recovered in Colorado. The main word that sticks out to me in this paragraph is the word exhausted. And I know for me that certainly characterized what it was like to work this last round of the steps. It was my first year of college at the time, actually this past year, and you know, I was trying to manage all my coursework on top of working this program and on top of trying to overcome an addiction. So I'd be up at 5:20 in the morning talking to my sponsor, meal prepping for the day, listening to a meeting, and then I would go to class, and there were all these people around and all these different personalities to contend with, and all these resentments that would crop up throughout the day. But because I had this program, I was able to do it. And there were times when my boss at work would yell at me, and I felt like I was going to pee my pants, and I would go home with my heart racing. But I always had that prayer to return to, you know, my boss is a sick person. How can I be helpful to him? How can I be helpful at my job? And I stuck through it. There was no way out but through. And I have to say, like, the miracles of the program are so, so prominent in my life today. My relationship with my sister is so different. We're going to go on a road trip to Texas over the summer, something that, you know, in the past I was so competitive with her. I didn't want to spend any time with her. I always wanted to be thinner than her. And now we're doing these fun sisterly things together. Similarly, with Mother's Day, my mom was one of the biggest contributors to my, what I think, the development of my interesting attitude towards food because she herself has some of the traits of a compulsive overeater. And yesterday it was all about my mom. It was just about how can I be of service to her and how can I be kind and loving to her. And I would have not gotten to that point if it hadn't been for working the steps as diligently as I did and treating it just like I did a class at school. Wake up in the morning and you do it no matter what, you know, there's no way out but through. And I'm just so grateful to be on the other side. And I'm grateful for the strength to get through those tiring and exhausting situations. Because that's what life is, right? Like it throws a bunch of different stuff at us and we can't always control what it's going to be. But my attitude towards it is so different now. And it's really cool to watch other people as they develop that strength of mind and that ability to be patient and non-reactive as I work these steps. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you, Natalie L. Okay, we have time for another share. Would someone like to take it? We're on page 156, the second paragraph. Now's the time to jump in.
Jody E.
Jody E, thanks.
Overeater. I spoke Friday. I wasn't sure if this
comes. Okay, wait. Hold on 1 second. What did you say your name was?
Mary Grace H.
Mary Grace. Okay, Mary Grace, Jody E came in right before you, so if you could each take
okay,
2 minutes.
Fine.
But hold on,
I'll have Jody
E go, and then I'll have you go right after her. So go ahead, Jody.
All right. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you, everybody, for being here and for your service. This is Jody E, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in California. And yeah, I don't have to take long. The amends process is difficult at first. Scary. I trembled for some of them, but they were the one that sticks out for me is with my ex-husband right now today. I said I'm sorry to him so many times, it didn't mean anything. And he didn't want to hear my amends. He was afraid because I had made the wrong type of amends more than once. So today it's a living amends, and yesterday he called me to wish me a happy Mother's Day, and he asked if he could come over because he wanted to see me, and he brought me a bouquet of flowers. He came with his girlfriend, and they came and sat down, and we had a nice visit, and when he left, he wanted to give me a hug, and I'm just so grateful that through living amends, our relationship has changed so much. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Jody E. So Mary Grace, go ahead. You have about 2 minutes.
I'm Mary Grace, compulsive overeater in California. The one that sticks out for me is my dad. He wasn't a particularly nice man, which I won't go into here. So as an adult, when I wrote letters home, I always said, dear mom, dear mom, dear mom. And then, you know, as part of my healing process, I needed to talk to him. But what happened is, since I thought so negatively of him, one day I was standing on the corner in Detroit, and I said to myself, surely he must have done something right. So to make a long story short, I wrote a poem about the things he did right and sent it to him. And fast forward, I don't know how many years, let's say 25 or 30 years, my parents found the poem. And my mom said, I want Mary to read this at Dad's funeral. So when my father died, I come from a really big family. I was the one that was selected, and I read that at the funeral. But meanwhile, when I started writing letters and I started saying, dear mom and dad, you know, I included him. And so that was my amends, and the result was this beautiful piece of work that was read at his funeral, and I was able to share with the rest of my family. Well, and they had forgotten many of these good things too. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary Grace. Okay. Thank you, everyone who shared this morning. A special thanks to Team Monday, Shelley E., Lorraine N., Deborah S., Kara L., KP, Janice PM, and Dawn B. Really appreciate your service this morning. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Kara L., would you please read A Vision for You?
Sure. Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.